destination of this coach is Hazard, Kentucky. We do there at 5:15. For your convenience, there's a restroom located in the rear of the coach.
You gonna get sick? Huh? Oh my God, he's coming at you!
Alright, when it comes to 2-year-old Olivia James, you are not the father.
You've irritated the tool gods. You must now be smeared with the holy grease of disdain.
Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com. It's JG's Radio Free Insanity with your host, James Gutman. Yo, Gutman, what's the ish?
That's right. My name is James Gutman. You are tuned in to JG's Radio Free Insanity right here on WorldWrestlingInsanity.com. Today it's Friday. It's November the 4th. It's 2005. And I want to thank you guys for tuning in here on the website and taking a listen to the Radio Free Insanity. You have picked a great show to actually join us on because today we're going to be joined by Dave Hepner right here via the phone lines. Dave Hepner was with World Wrestling Entertainment for 24 years, 24 long years, and the guy was released a few months ago. And this is his first interview since being gone, his first public interview. You actually hear what he has to say. He's going to be addressing a lot of things. He's going to be talking about his side of the story, which still, to this day, a lot of people don't know. Still saying things like, the bootleg t-shirts and this and that. And I think a lot of people are going to be surprised by a lot of the comments that Dave has. And a lot of things that once you hear it, you wonder to yourself, where did all this come from? But yeah, Dave Hepner, former head referee, former road agent, former really just staple employee of World Wrestling Entertainment and the World Wrestling Federation, and he's going to be here right here this week. So we're very excited to have him on. That'll be a little bit later on in the show. You don't want to miss that. Also, on the website, Dr. Tom Pritchard, who's been churning out these columns left and right, put out a column yesterday called Reminiscing, where he talked a little bit about his 26 years in the industry, talked a little bit about some of the drug usage and the alcohol abuse in the business as well, some of the vices that people use. And definitely, if you're the type of person that likes to hear about the things behind the scenes in professional wrestling, behind that pretty, pretty shiny, glossy, kayfabe curtain, then definitely give a check out to Tom Pritchard's column. You won't be disappointed. You're going to learn a lot from it, and you'll find out a lot about what this business is like behind closed doors and how it affects people. Also on the site, I want to point you guys out to Jess Stutzman. Started up with something called Rings Around the World. Check this out, too. This actually is going to be a column devoted to Lucha Libre, Japanese wrestling, as well as American independent wrestling. And I say this because I do know that there are some independent promoters that listen to our show. So if you are an independent promoter and you do have a wrestling promotion and you want people to know about it, send out an email to indy@worldwrestlinginsanity.com. We'll get that over to Jess when he checks back in with his next edition of Rings Around the World. We will be sure to have them include something in there for you, too, as well. And also, one last thing I do want to point out on the website, the People's DVD review section is open. You get a DVD, you watch it, if you like it, or even if you don't like it, send it on over, and what we'll do is we'll put it up on the site. 3 reviews per DVD, and you take a look, you can compare and contrast other people's opinions before you buy it. This is actually your chance to be printed on this website. So all the times that you do read stuff online and you say, you know what, man, I could do better than that. Well, you know what, prove it. Prove it, send in your stuff, and we'll see what you got, and we'll put it up on the website. So that will be cool as well. Check that out. So much going on, guys, and we got plenty more to come. Trust me, this isn't the end. We got a lot coming in the next few weeks as well. Now, let's talk a little bit about TNA. First and foremost, TNA announced yesterday that they had signed Jackie Gata, former Tough Enough winner, Miss Jackie, from World Wrestling Entertainment. For those of you guys who listen to JG's Radio Free Insanity, you knew that 2 weeks ago when we debuted the show, and Charlie Haas let us know. So we're very happy to hear about that. Jackie Gata heading to TNA. Hopefully, maybe Charlie will be right behind, something to that effect. We're going to try to get them on the phone in the next few weeks. They are back. We had them on the debut show, and always good to talk to Jackie and Charlie. So that was cool to hear about, too. But while on the subject of TNA, last night Za reviewed TNA's 2-hour special on Impact. I think he did a bang-up job. He had Mallory Mauling come on in as well and help him out an hour or two. But yeah, no, I watched TNA TNA special last night. And in many ways, it was a big deal. And you know what? I think TNA really did deliver last night. I know that some people are going to come down on it for this or for that, but I think that in the grand scheme of things, TNA put together a really good show. And I think my highlight, the favorite part that I had of this show was Double J, that's J-E, double F, J-R-R, E-double-T, Jeff Jarrett, giving us a history lesson, talking a little bit about Isaac Newton and an apple falling on his head. So I found that kind of be funny. I liked it. I thought the show as a whole was good. I thought Rhino delivered a great promo at the end of the show, really a lot of intensity. And a guy like Rhino, you could see in his eyes, he's been in WWE for the last few years, kind of treading water, flapping his wings, not really doing much. And now he's finally in a place that's allowing him to do the most he can with his character. And in this business, I think that's really important. One of the funny things about wrestling that I've noticed years ago, man, when ECW started popping up and starting to become that counterculture promotion and WWE started the Attitude Generation, everybody said the same damn thing. They all said, you know, in wrestling, it's about being yourself, and they're not playing characters anymore. And for years, people played characters, and now they're being themselves. Shane Douglas, well, he's just being himself. Steve Austin is just being himself with the volume turned up. That was always a big thing. You know, Steve Austin has the volume turned up. So everyone has the volume turned up, and everybody was just being themselves and not playing characters. And this business flourished when that happened. And why? Because people are comfortable when they're being themselves. And people are comfortable when they're able to speak for themselves. And Rhino really looks comfortable doing that. And what's funny is that in wrestling nowadays, especially, everybody's playing a character. I know you have the boogeyman running around. You have all these characters running around of people trying to play these cartoons. Meanwhile, in wrestling, some of the most successful moments have been when the people were playing what comes naturally to them. Even if they are playing a character, playing a natural character. And I definitely think that Rhino is a good example of somebody who has that passion again. And he has it not because he's in this great place where he's making so much money, because I really doubt that the exposure, when it comes down to it, it's a lot better in WWE than it is in TNA. And if this business is really just about making money and being famous, as people like to always say, then Rhino shouldn't have more passion. Rhino should have less passion. But he went out there last night and he did a promo before his match with Jeff Jarrett. I thought his match was really good too, but he did a promo before his match with Jarrett that I thought was really good, and I thought he put together really well. Leaps and bounds above anything he ever did in World Wrestling Entertainment, and I think that's the humor of it. I think right now WWE has hit this snag where they're making everybody be everything they don't want to be, and they're sort of trying to make everything almost cartoony, but not. Here's what's weird about it. It's not cartoony in the kid sense anymore. Now it's cartoony in this smutty kind of adult sense. And it's this weird hybrid of child's cartoon and grade B kind of Skinamax porn in the middle of the night type of deal. And it just doesn't come off right. And I think that's the problem with WWE's facing right now. And it's starting to bleed over into their product. TNA last night, I mean, there was no weird things that you could really look at and say, oh my God, what the hell is that? Nobody pulled anything out of anybody's ass on TNA last night, and you can't really say that if a Raw. You know, no one was dressed like a doctor pulling things out of a rubber butt. You know, there was no viscera humping people randomly in the show. I mean, and to say these things, it almost sounds like comical, and somebody who doesn't watch wrestling will be like, you know, what the hell is he talking about? I'm talking about what the business is like now. And the fact that I could say that with a straight face, viscera humping somebody, John Heidenreich humping somebody, I mean, everybody's humping somebody on Monday Night Raw. No one was humping anybody on TNA, and that's always a good thing, you know. Can't get enough of that humping. All right. So, yeah, so it was really good last night. I thought it was a good show to put on. I think the TNA did a good job with what they presented. I thought that Ultimate X match was one of the best matches I've seen on TV probably this year on free television, and I think people who don't normally watch total nonstop action will be turned on to the promotion just from that show. I thought they put together a nice show. Mike Tenay started it off really well, too, by telling people, if you know somebody who's never watched TNA, get on the phone, tell them to watch TNA. And on one hand, it kind of felt desperate, but on the other hand, it didn't. And it didn't feel desperate because they were actually putting on a quality program. And I think that was a good sign. And I like it when professional wrestling knows what brought them to the dance. And in this case, TNA knows what brought them to the dance. It was the wrestling, and they showcased that last night. All they have to do now, I mean, of course, they still have some problems, and there's still some things they need to work out and iron out, and I think that they still need to focus a little bit more on getting some of their angles better presented, their storylines better explained, I would imagine. I mean, looking back, you can't really remember too many solid, tremendous angles that TNA put out, and I think that that's a big problem for them right now, and hopefully it's something they can rectify. But that's always secondary, because while they haven't put together any really blow-me-away crazy angles in the last couple of years, I mean, they haven't really done anything that's over-the-top embarrassing. I mean, maybe right in the very beginning when they opened up, but there's nothing you could really point to and say, oh my god, I can't believe they did that. I mean, no one humped a mannequin, you know? See, humping. Everybody humps on Monday Night Raw. It's Monday Night Humping. All right, you know what? Enough. We keep talking about Raw in this, you know, abstract sense. So let's just talk point blank. WWE, as a whole, managed to give us the craziest week ever. If this was VH1, we would be having a clip special, and we would be calling it WWE's most whack week ever. But you know what? There's only one way to really sum it up. We're going to go out of order now because we're going to do it right now. So without further ado, you guys voted for it. Here it is. Here's this week's moment of insanity.
All right, JR. Time for your colon surgery. And everyone, man, I'm Dr. Heine. I want you to meet Nurse Robert Knockers.
It wasn't my fault.
Fear is only a four-letter word.
The world's largest love machine, Viscera.
Woo! As voted by you, the readers of WorldWrestlingInsanity.com, it's this week's Moment of Insanity.
Hey, what happened?
Pissing the Night Away, very fitting song, because that's exactly what World Wrestling Entertainment did last Monday night on Raw, the night before Taboo Tuesday, when they decided to swap out one of their main matches for the show. So just so we're clear here, this week's Moment of Insanity was World Wrestling Entertainment's craziest week ever, including the departure of Christian from the company, quitting. Really not too much more to go into than that, than that he just quit. But also, Vader and Goldust being brought in as backups for Jonathan Coachman in his match now against Batista for Taboo Tuesday. And all this sounds so confusing, so in case you haven't been watching wrestling because you don't like crap, let me give you guys the rundown of exactly what happened. Stone Cold Steve Austin was slated to return to wrestling to face Jonathan Coachman for the right to bring back his buddy, good old JR, Jim Ross. So Austin was supposed to fight Coach. Now, we had three choices for matches because it was Taboo Tuesday, and the real taboo is that the fans vote. We have three choices to vote. A little bit more of a choice than we get for the presidential election, but a little bit less than anything that would be considered a real choice. And the three choices between Coachman and Austin were for a street fight, an arm wrestling match, or a debate, which are the stupidest three choices on the planet. It's like, you know, saying, what do you want to eat for dinner? Would you like a pizza, or would you like some dirt, or a piece of wood? What would you like to eat? And that's exactly what it came down to. So the three choices, they weren't really choices. But the debate and all those things kind of made sense, because the goal of that match was, if Austin won, Jim Ross came back. The guy who knows how to call the action on Mondays returns to Raw. If Austin lost, then he would be fired, which really didn't matter because the guy never comes to the damn shows anyway. Doesn't really make any sense. If I had a job where I went there once every 5 months and someone threatened to fire me, I'd be like, really don't give a shit and do whatever you want. So Austin was supposed to fight Coachman. Right beforehand, I guess Austin had finally figured it out. I can't seem to grasp this. This is something that confuses me. WWE was never planning on bringing Jim Ross back. I don't know if it was Vince McMahon pulling things out of the fake Jim Ross ass that might have tipped him off, but WWE was never planning on having Jim Ross come back, which kind of leads you to believe that Austin was going to lose to John Coachman. Again, that's something they probably ironed out a long time ago. But not only that, but I guess someone had said, or it came to Austin's attention, someone had said to him that they weren't going to bring back Jim Ross no matter what, so Austin walked out. Why it took him until the day before the show to figure that out, I still don't get, because, to be honest, I mean, I just write about wrestling. You guys watch wrestling. I mean, we're all kind of fans at the base of it all, and we all knew that they wouldn't be bringing back Jim Ross. I think anybody who watched the show has kind of figured that out. But Austin left, and that's cool. And he had his own, you know, decisions about what he wants to do with himself and his character and his friends, and I get that, and that's cool. All right, so if he wants to go, he can go. That's not the problem. And WWE then had to swap out that match. They had to change it around a little bit. So what did they do? They brought out Dave Bautista. Dave Bautista is the SmackDown World Champion. Good substitution. Definitely not on the level of Stone Cold Steve Austin, but if you're going to bring out a world champion to face somebody as a substitution, people really shouldn't bitch and moan. I mean, the guy's the world champion. So what are you going to say? So Coachman Bautista, Taboo Tuesday. Makes sense. Sounds good. That's fine. Here's where things get a little wacky, all right? Inexplicably, for absolutely no reason, which is what inexplicably kind of means, WWE brought out two men to back up the coach. Now, who did they bring out? Well, did they bring out the World Tag Team Champions, Lance Cade and Trevor Murdoch? That would have been a good team to be in his corner. No, they didn't do that. Did they bring out, perhaps, I don't know, Randy Orton and his dad? Maybe two SmackDown guys to back up John Coachman and be like, well, we got your back against Bautista because we don't like him on SmackDown. No, they didn't do that either. What they did was they brought out Goldust, who is Dustin Rhodes, who is the son of Dusty Rhodes, who now works for WWE. In case you didn't know where Dusty was working, you know now because Dustin's here, and that's kind of how it works. So Goldust showed up, didn't say anything, just kind of squatted in the ring. So Goldust came out. Now, that was kind of a head-scratcher. Well, what the hell is Goldust doing here? Considering especially the Goldust last stint in WWE, he was a good guy, a babyface, and now he was a bad guy squatting in the ring for no reason. So Goldust was there. Then, and I love this part, they bring out Vader. Now, Big Van Vader, when I was a kid, was I don't want to say a great wrestler, but he was a good performer. He was on top of WCW for a while. The guy used to do a moonsault off the top rope, knock your socks off your ass, if you want. I mean, it was amazing. And I still remember his matches with Sting. I remember 92 was his year. I mean, Vader was a good wrestler when he was at the top of his game. That was like 13 years ago, which, I mean, sucks for us to say because, you know, you don't want to feel old. So if you watch Vader years ago, you don't want to turn around and say, you know, that was 13 years ago, but it was 13 years ago, you know, so that was a long time ago. Vader came out, and I don't know how else to describe it other than he was just round as hell. And you know what? You don't have to be in great shape. And I'm not going to cut him down for not being in great shape because the guy's not a wrestler. He hasn't wrestled in a while. He's not on the active roster. His last stint in WWE, where he probably weighed about 75 pounds less than he weighs now, WWE scripted him to say, "I'm a fat piece of shit" on the air. In case you missed that pay-per-view, pick that one up. And now he came back and he was bigger than ever. He kind of, I mean, it's horrible. I don't want to say bad things, but he looked like the assassin, Jody Hamilton. And if you guys remember, he's a big guy, and he would wear a mask, and his chin would come out from under his mask. That's what Vader looked like. But again, that's fine. He's not a wrestler. He's not supposed to wrestle. That's why it made no sense that WWE brought him in to wrestle. So he came into the ring. He attacked Bautista, and he beat him up. He beat up the world champion, the huge, jacked up, you know, I'm big as hell world champion. Beat him up, and then, as he was leaving the ring, Vader fell on his ass. Fell down. Plop right on his ass. I mean, I don't know how else we can really get into this whole insanity besides that. I mean, that to me was, I think, the punctuation mark at the end of the statement. I think that Vader on his butt was a perfect example of everything WWE has been doing wrong, and that was it right there. No two ways about it. Made no sense. Really counterproductive. And I think what was scary, and I wrote about this yesterday on PW Insider for my Insanity Report, what's really scary about the whole thing is that it's incompetence by adding Goldust and Vader to the match. It wasn't so much like Austin left and WWE was screwed and they scrambled and they couldn't find anything good. They did find something good. Bautista was a good replacement. Bautista and Coachman was a good match. That could have been explained any possible way they thought of. They didn't think of any reason to explain it. There's no explanation given. Oh, I forgot to mention that. No reason given why Batista was fighting Coach. No reason given why Vader was waddling out there. Or no reason given why Goldust was there. Everyone was just there. I was just kind of throwing it in there. And they expected people to pay for it the next day. So I thought that was a little bit ridiculous. So there was no explanation given. But WWE still put together a good substitution. And then they added to it. To the point where they ruined the match. And I think that is a scary thought. Because you're really, I mean, that brings you back to the point where they don't know what they're doing. Had WWE had no options, had no one to put in there against the Coach, and had just totally flopped on who they were going to sub out Austin with, then you could say to yourself, well, they were screwed, Austin screwed them over, they had no one to put in. They did. They put Batista in. That wasn't the problem. The problem was that they continuously added to it. It was like a picture. When you're drawing a picture, and it looks pretty good, but you notice one small problem with it, so you try to correct it. Next thing you know, you're smudging it, and you're wiping it away, and you're cleaning it up, and then eventually you got this big damn mess, and that's exactly what they did with this match. It just became a damn mess. So WWE, really just gross incompetence. In that respect. What's even worse, too, is, look, I'm a fan. I don't even work for the company. I have no vested interest. But if I worked for WWE and we were going to bring in Vader to do a one-shot deal for the pay-per-view and he showed up at the arena and he looked the way he looked when he came out on TV, I wouldn't put him on TV. I'd be like, yeah, no. All right, thanks, though. Thank you. Hey, Vader, thank you. But no. And that would be it. That would be the end of it. WWE didn't do that. They let him waddle out there. They let him fall on his ass. And it's absolutely ridiculous. So, I mean, top to bottom. Oh, and here's the other funny thing, too. The match no longer had anything to do with Jim Ross. But fans still had the option to vote for a debate. A three-on-one debate about nothing. Nothing. Also, the arm wrestling option was still open. Which, again, I don't get because I don't know if it was going to be three-on-one. Oh, what the hell was going on? So WWE really never thought it through. All I knew is they lost Austin, so they just kept throwing names out there. It was kind of like, I felt like Monday Night Raw was one of those video games where you create your own legend wrestlers in the game and then just kind of mix them up with the regular guys in the video game, too. And that's kind of what Raw felt like. Horrible show, horrible substitution, just a very scary, scary show as a whole. So yeah, you guys agree with them. Let me go through some of these. I can never get each one of them. Personal Jesus says, can I just vote for the entire week as a moment of insanity? Seriously, as much insane shit has gone down in the past couple of days, and I'm having trouble comprehending it. Steve Austin pulls out a Taboo Tuesday because he was hit by a car while moving furniture to the arena where he's supposed to job to the Coach or something like that. So instead, WWE gives us Batista and Goldust and very big Van Vader. Seriously now, has anyone seen Super Porky in the past 4 to 5 days? Because I'm almost positive Leon ate him. Wait a minute. That's a scary thought, man. And PJ, those of you guys who don't know, Personal Jesus is one of our posters in the message board. That's where you could vote for your moment of insanity. And he brings up a scary thought, and our thoughts and prayers are with the family of Super Porky at this time, the midget on SmackDown. Stank says, it's time, it's diet time. And that was a good one, too. Let's see what else we got here. You guys really, I mean, it's the kind of thing where this isn't even nitpicking. This is like, it just writes itself. All you had to do is write Vader, and it's almost a hilarious rant to put in there. Black Francis fan says, add me to the list of people who think of the idea of replacing Steve Austin versus Coach, a match built up to for a month, with Batista versus Coach, Goldust, and a very overweight Vader with one night's build-up as being worthy of this week's moment of insanity. Absolutely, man. I am with you as well. Austin Hall says, WWE's replacement for Steve Austin walking out is my moment of insanity. Excuse me, guys. Batista, why the hell is it a SmackDown guy to replace Austin anyway? What kind of sense does that make? Versus Coach with his bodyguards, Goldust and Vader. What? Where did that even come from? It was just a bizarre clusterfuck where you weren't sure if you were imagining this. I've had dreams about bizarre Raws before. Or it was really happening. Truly insane. Big K Rev, Vader falling out of the ring and Coachman's reaction to it is my pick for the moment of insanity. If there was a award for it, this week would win Week of Insanity for the entire year. And there isn't, but if there was, I do agree with him. It would be for this week. You know what, guys? There's all you guys just kept on hammering and hammering this week. You're absolutely right. I invite everybody listening to this, do me a favor, go to our message boards right now, check in, and start voting for next week's Moment of Insanity. Just in case you missed it and you weren't listening, this week's Moment of Insanity was officially Steve Austin pulling out of his match, being replaced by Vader, Goldust, Batista, and this big, confusing mess. So that was this week's MOI, Moment of Insanity. Voting starts now for next week. So you can either send over an email to insanity@worldwrestlinginsanity.com or stop by our message boards, the Insanity message boards. Register, it's free, and you could vote for whatever you think is the Moment of Insanity. Send it in. If your vote wins and you send along a rant, maybe it'll be read right here on the air.
Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com.